Jesus Christ for them. And some of you say, well, is that the only kind of prisoner? No. If Paul had tried to quit preaching, he couldn't. Couldn't have done it. Couldn't have done it. It's like trying to stop breathing. You can't stop breathing till you die. Well, you can't stop preaching till you die either. I can't understand these preachers. Well, I've been preaching for 20 years. About time to retire. Can't believe it. My father, he got real upset with me. He said, Davey, he calls me Davey. He said, Davey, if you're going to preach, if you got to preach, why don't you at least go with a respectable ministry? He's a Methodist. He wanted me to be a Methodist preacher. If I had to be a preacher, he didn't want me to be a preacher anyway, but if I had to be a preacher, he wanted me to be a Methodist preacher. He said, why don't you join a respectable ministry? I mean, you know, what are you going to do when it's time to retire? Told him I didn't understand. But I really did. Problem was, he didn't understand. I'll retire when I go to be with Jesus. See, I'm called to be a minister of the gospel full time. For my entire life. It's a lifelong ministry. You're called to be a Christian lifetime, not part-time. See, some of you got jobs and they last 8 hours a day. So if you're a granite worker, what are you, a granite worker? 8 hours a day. The rest of the time you do whatever you want. Is that right? Well, that's not the same way with Jesus Christ. It's not the same way. You're called to be a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're called to be a minister. You're called to be a minister 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not something you put on in the morning and take off in the afternoon. It's not something you put on at 10 o'clock Sunday morning and take off at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon. It's something you put on and you never take it off. It comes on once, and you never take it off. Paul had a handle on it. He said, I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ for your sakes. All right? What he received by revelation. Didn't receive it from men. Didn't go to school to receive it. He received it from revelation by Jesus Christ. He wrote the stuff down and he talked to them so that they would know the knowledge he had. That's the purpose of a minister. The purpose of a minister is to get into their closet, seek God's face, seek God's word, seek his wisdom, and then come out and give it to the people. That's your job. That means you got to take time to do that. You got to take time to do that. Oh, I know some of you think it'd be real nice if you could just go in there and say, okay, God, what do you want me to say today? Let me get my tape recorder out. Just put it in there for me, Lord. I'll listen to it on the way to church. And then I'll go in there and kind of give a halfway rendition of it. That's not the way it happens. It's not the way it happens. Takes hours of praying, hours of searching God's face, hours of searching Him, letting the Spirit speak to you, hours in the Word of God. Verse 5, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. See, the mystery of Jesus Christ was not revealed to men. Was not revealed to men. I mean, they had the prophets, they had the law. The Jews did. Had it. They still didn't have the mystery. And the Gentiles didn't have it at all. They didn't have any of it. They didn't even have a close proximity of it. But once Jesus Christ died on the cross and was resurrected from the dead, then His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came forth to preach it and teach it to the apostles and to the ministers, to the prophets. You know why Jesus Christ is not known in most churches today? Do you know why the power of God doesn't move in most churches today? Do you know why most churches today deny baptism of the Holy Spirit? Deny healing the sick? Deny speaking in tongues? Deny raising the dead? Deny interpretation of tongues? You know why they deny it? Because they threw the apostle out and the prophet out, and by throwing the apostle and the prophet out, they threw the Spirit out. A church without an apostle in it, a church without a prophet in it, cannot stand long with the Spirit of God. Once they throw that apostle out, once they throw that prophet out, the Spirit's going to go with the prophet and with the apostle. And the pastors that think they can hold it together, they can't. Can't do it. Neither can the evangelist. God reveals by revelation the mysteries of God to the apostles and to the prophets. And when the church throws the prophets out, they throw the Spirit out. They throw the anointing out. And then you watch the churches. And you'll watch the gold leave. And as the gold is stolen, they'll replace it with brass. Preacher can't cast out demons anymore. So he goes to learn how to be a psychologist or a psychiatrist. Preacher can't heal the sick anymore. So he builds a medical university. Come on. It's the truth. It's the truth. Can't heal the sick anymore? Then get doctors. I have nothing against doctors. Bless God, I have nothing against them. All knowledge comes from God in that area, I believe. I believe that God gives man the ability to learn things. Gives man the ability to use them, even when man misuses them. Still gives man the ability to learn from it. Have nothing against doctors. Have nothing against going to them. But I'm going to go to Jesus before I do go to a doctor. And when I go to that doctor, I'm still going to look to Jesus for the healing. Still going to look to Jesus. Which in other ages was not made known unto his son, to the sons of men. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets. By the Spirit. Why wasn't it revealed in times past? Because God didn't have apostles yet. So He couldn't have apostles until Jesus Christ died and was raised from the dead. The Bible says that God gives some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the church, until we all come together in the unity of the faith. Not just unity, but the unity of the faith. Faith that Jesus Christ is God. He is Lord. And not some mamsy-pamsy garbage that the churches are preaching today. Born of a virgin. The Word of God. In the beginning was the Word of God. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus was in the beginning. Adam saw him. Go back and read it, chapter 3 of Genesis. Adam saw Jesus and called him the voice of God. Adam saw Jesus, called him the voice of God. John called him the Word of God. Same thing. Same thing. Jesus is the Word, and He was the voice, and He is God. Came to life on earth as a man, flesh and blood, born of a virgin. Two things set Him apart from every other man on earth. Two things. One, He had the Spirit of God in Him. And two, He had the blood of God in Him. Mary Baker Eddy, I believe it was, wrote in her book, and I'm going to quote it as close to it as I can. It's been years since I read it, but this will be close enough for jazz. Mary Baker Eddy wrote in her book that the blood that was shed from the veins of Jesus Christ on the cross had no more power to forgive sins or to take away sins than the blood of all the people that were shed on all the crosses in Jerusalem. And if that wasn't the biggest bunch of garbage, I don't know what is. In latter days, some shall depart from the faith, taking heed of seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And it's coming through today faster and faster and faster and faster. Why? I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you why the devil is able to put his perverted teachings in the churches today. Because the churches have thrown out the apostles and the prophets. Amen. All things coming from God are to come through the prophets and the apostles. And it takes the prophets and the apostles to judge them. Paul said, let the prophets prophesy and let the others judge. The others who? The unbelievers? No. The other prophets. The only person qualified to judge a prophet is another prophet. That's the only person qualified. That's common sense. The only person qualified to judge a brain surgeon is another brain surgeon. Do you understand? If you were qualified to judge the brain surgeon, you'd be doing brain surgery. If you are qualified to judge a prophet, then you're going to be a prophet prophesying. And don't be too quick to want it. Because it's an awesome responsibility that comes with it. And the judge that judges you is greater than all of you. His name is Jesus. And the Holy Spirit. Because the churches threw out the prophets. Because the churches threw out the apostles. Now, they kept the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. See? And then they reversed roles between the evangelists and the pastors. They put the evangelists down on the bottom. Moved the pastor to the top and slid the teacher in between. I remember back in the 70s, and I don't know where Ann is right now, but I know she remembers it, and I know Joe remembers it. Back in the 70s, 75, 76, there became a movement up. Remember where this is the age of the teachers? Do you remember that movement? They tried to say that which God said, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, was a dispensational age. First, God brought the pastors of the apostles to the church, then they died out, so then He brought the prophets, then they died out. Then came the time of the evangelists, then they died out. Then came the time of the pastors, then they died out, and now's the time of the teachers. Garbage. All it was a bunch of stupid idiot teachers wanting to be the highest in the church. And they lifted themselves up and they fell. And I'll tell you who they were. Don Basham, Derek Prince, Bob Mumford. See, I'm not shy like some preachers. I'll put it right on the tape. If they don't like it, let them sue me. And they get me in court, let them prove it, that I'm wrong. Let them prove I'm wrong. I'll back it up. See, before they can sue me for libel, they got to prove that I lied. And I'm not lying. Where's Derek Prince today? Remember the Fort Lauderdale 5 or 6 or whatever they called themselves? That was Don Basham, Derek Prince, Bob Mumford, a few others. Where are they? Splitting up. Derek Prince has disassociated himself. He's gone back to England, I think. Gone back over to Europe somewhere or Africa or something. I don't know where he is. They're going down the tubes. Why? Because they were never called of God to lead anything. They were called to teach. They were called to teach. And if you go back and look at their ministries in the beginning and look at their teachings that they gave in the beginning, they were right on. They were right on. But as soon as they stepped out from under the authority God had put them under, as soon as they had stepped out of that area God wanted them to be under, they began to fall away into error. And the further they stepped out, the more the error became. You throw the apostles out of the churches, you throw the prophets out of the churches, and buddy, you are running into danger. And that's what's going on with the world today. That's why all this garbage is getting into the churches. That's getting into it. Without the Spirit of God leading and directing through the prophets and through the apostles, error gets into the church. Because there's no one qualified to judge prophecy. There's no one qualified to judge revelation. They say, well, we've got the Word. We can judge by the Word. Stupid, you can't even preach it right, let alone judge it. Idiots in these churches, well, we know the Word. You know, bless God. Make me sick. Couldn't heal a hangnail. Couldn't get rid of a headache with a bottle of aspirin and two bottles of oil. Call themselves ministers of God. My, I'm making some people mad. Satan's getting mad at me. I love it when Satan gets mad at me. It means I'm doing something right. People start saying I'm of the devil and I'm wrong and I'm lousy and I'm mean and I'm hateful. It means I'm doing something right. I'm stirring up demons. I love doing that. Alright. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promises in Christ by the gospel. I like it. See, there's only one body. Only one. I read in my Bible where Paul had a problem with them. He said, man, what's wrong with you people? What's wrong with you people? Some of you say I'm of Apollos. Some of you say I'm of Paul. Some of you say I'm from Cephas. Man, don't you know there's only one Jesus Christ and only one Lord God the Father and only one Spirit? There's only one Holy Ghost you can get baptized with. There's only one body you can be baptized in. Yet look around you today. I'm a Baptist. Really? I'm a church God. Well, we don't believe in them. We're church God of prophecies. We're the real ones, you see. They're just the fake ones. We're the real ones. My. I'm Episcopalian. Really? I'm Catholic. Well, I'll tell you what I am. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, born again, saved by the blood of God, filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what I am. I'm not a Baptist. I'm not a Methodist. I'm not a Presbyterian. I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not a Charismatic. I'm a Jesus freak. I believe in Jesus. I believe His Word. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to preach it. Got the same problem today, only it's worse. that Paul had in his day. Things never change. They just get worse. Things never change. They just get worse. They say to me, well, you know, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. Peace, peace, peace. What did the Lord say when they said, peace, peace, peace? He said, look out. Things are going to get worse. Oh, things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. The world's going to get better. The world's going to... Really? Wow, I didn't know that. Take an old piece of meat, throw it out on the road, see if it gets better. Huh? Come on. Take a piece of meat. Take a dog that gets hit by a car. Throw it in the middle of the street. Let it lay there a while. Tell me if it gets better. Tell me how much better it gets. Honey, when death sets in, corruption comes. When death sets in, corruption follows. And without Jesus Christ, the center of your life, death sets in. And corruption will follow. Things cannot get better. They can only get worse. 1948, the United States Supreme Court threw God out of government, threw God out of the school system, threw God out of its country, out of its courts. Said, we don't want you here anymore. We don't want you here anymore. Death set in. Death set in. And this country has not won a conflict, has not won a war since 1948. Korean War came along, they called it a police action. It was a war, people shooting at each other with guns and dying, Americans dying in Korea, and we lost. Little old wimpy nation of Korea, little old wimpy country. Wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. We wouldn't even go across the North Parallel, whatever it was, that thing they call it. They'd come down there to South Korea and do what they want, but the United States was too chicken to go across. What happened? When death sets in, the courage leaves. The congressmen of the United States and the senators, they were afraid. We don't want to get China unhappy. Don't want to make them mad. It's okay if they kill our boys. It's okay if they just drain our finances. It's okay if they make a laughing stock out of us. We don't want to make them mad. We'll just stay down here. My God, my God, my God, my God, if they could see what is happening. Look at me, folks. Look at me. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. And there are some that are going to say I'm wrong, but I want you to hear this. I want you to hear this. John the Baptist came saying Jesus was coming. He said, I'm a voice in the wilderness. Make it ready. Make way the path of the Lord. Make his path straight. He's coming. He's coming. He's coming. And I'm not even worthy to get out and unloose the straps on his shoes. I might baptize you with water, but praise God, when he gets here, he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ came. And what did John say when John's disciples came to him whining and crying and moaning and groaning? John, look at Jesus over there. His disciples are baptizing more people than we are. John said, don't worry about it. That's the way it's supposed to be. I've got to decrease that he may increase. I've got to decrease that he may increase. Now look at this. This is going to knock some of you right off your seats. It's going to curl your hair, and it's going to straighten yours. Listen to it. 1948, Israel became a nation. And ever since then, Israel has increased. Israel has increased. 1948, the United States Supreme Court threw God out of the schools, God out of government. And ever since then, the United States has decreased. Can you hear what I'm saying? Can you hear it, folks? John the Baptist got beheaded. John the Baptist died. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you hear me? The United States is going to die because it turned from God. And Israel is going to become the most powerful nation on earth. And all nations are going to come against it to destroy it. Bless God, I won't be here. I won't be here because my Jesus said, I won't let you go through the hour of temptation that will fall upon all the earth. I won't be here. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to be with the Lord. And when the nations come against Israel, I'm going to be in Israel fighting with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to help Jesus Christ. I'm going to be standing right there with a sword in my hand. I've already got the sword and I practice with it every day. I practice with a sword in the morning. I practice with a sword in the afternoon. In the night hours, late at night, I'm in there wielding the sword of God. I'm getting ready. I'm practicing. I'm practicing because Jesus is coming. I'm practicing because Jesus is coming. I'm practicing because my Lord is coming. And I'm going to be fighting with Him right there at that battle of Armageddon. And I'm going to defeat Satan and his armies right alongside of Jesus. Because it's the power of God that will be with us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And I got news for you. That message has never been preached in the continental United States. Never been preached in the United States. Never been preached. And I know that as sure as I'm standing here. And yet it is the truth.
Amen.
Take a blind man not to see it. Blind man. Jimmy Swaggart preached the other night, keep your eyes on the ark. Remember that? He almost had it right. Bless God. I love him. I love him. He's preaching stuff that was, the Lord showed me 10 years ago. Everybody said I was crazy. Now I'm sitting back and enjoying it because they're calling him crazy. Going to be crazy. You might as well be in good company. Amen, amen. Y'all want to be crazy, get in good company.
Amen.
Get with the saints of God.
Amen.
Preaching the gospel.
Amen.
World's going to call you crazy anyway.
Amen.
Almost, you might as well make it worthwhile.
Amen.
If you love the Lord, say praise God.
Praise God!
Jimmy Swaggart preached on the ark. But he missed it. He missed it. See, what he failed to see is the ark was Jesus.
Amen.
That's the part he failed to see. The ark was Jesus. The ark contained the Word of God. The ark contained the bread out of heaven. The ark was the mercy seat where sins were forgiven. It was the ark the blood was poured on. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The ark was Jesus.
Amen.
But God told Joshua, said, tell those men to go out in the middle of the water there. Lift up the ark. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, lift it up. What was it Jesus said? Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up.
Amen,
amen. Look here, folks. Look, children. Moses lifted up the serpent as a type and shadow of Jesus. Do you hear me? Joshua lifted up the ark as Jesus. Praise God, then Jesus was lifted up himself.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, in the spirit, God says, we got to get to that point in a little bit, but God said that we are made to sit in Jesus in heavenly places.
Amen.
That's lifting up Jesus, isn't it?
Amen.
But now we get to be in him when he's lifted up.
Amen.
That's the Joshua ministry.
Amen.
That's the ministry that's coming.
Amen.
And it's going to be the little people. And they're going to do it.
Amen.
Now, there's not going to be any more great ministers. It's going to be God's great people.
Amen.
Sister Joe, I was talking to her the other day about when I was with A. Christian Hall. And I love him. He's my father in the Lord. And as I said earlier, I wouldn't touch his anointing. What's left of it? But I remember being with him, and you couldn't come near him, you couldn't talk to him. He was always keeping everybody down. The minute somebody's anointing would grow to where they'd get as powerful as him, he'd run them off. See, that was the way the old Pentecostal thing was, you see. You were either top dog, or you were underdog. And if there was anybody over you, get rid of them, man. People might follow them and not you. Isn't that the way it was, Joe? Isn't that the way it was, Ann? See, wasn't that the way it was, Bill? Do you remember that, any of that? Did you ever see any of that? Well, anyway. That's the way it was in Pentecostal churches. So, see, the big difference is in Joshua ministry. We'll all have the Holy Spirit. We'll all carry the anointing. All of us. Because we're not lifting up men. We're lifting up Jesus.
Amen.
We're lifting up Jesus.
Amen.
And because we're lifting up Jesus, Jesus is going to be glorified.
Amen.
We're going to rise up there with him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, glory to God. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body. There is only one body, folks. The message we've got to preach is there is no Baptist. There is no Methodist. There is no Catholic. There is no Episcopalian. There is no this. There is no that. There is only Jesus. And if you're not in the body of Jesus, if you're not in the spirit of Jesus, if you're not covered with the blood of Jesus, you're not in Jesus. That's it. You can believe anybody you want. Well, I believe in Jesus. So what? The demons believe and they tremble. I don't care if you believe in Jesus. What I want to know is, are you in Jesus? That's what I want to know. Are you in him? I mean, folks, get in or get out. That's where it's at. Get in or get out. Oh, praise God. Nobody walked out. I thought the whole church was going to leave. You love the Lord. Say praise God.
Praise God.
Because there's one body. We're all partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Do you see that? It doesn't say just the apostles, just the prophets, just the big shots, just the pastors, just the evangelists. All of us are partakers when you're in Jesus. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. I hear over and over and over and over and over and over again. How do I do it? How do I walk in that anointing? How do I walk in the Spirit? How do I do it? How do I do it? You see, this is why so many people go to seminary. See, this person will explain to you why so many people go to the seminary. They can't walk it, they can't do it, and they can't talk it, so they go learn something. They give up the gold and go for the brass. Look at this. Look at what he says. Look at what he says here in verse 7. Whereof I became a minister because I went and did a bunch of things and followed them all down because so-and-so said it, and therefore I am now a minister. Praise God. I, you know, some of you may be listening to this without a Bible in your hand. I had to make it so silly that nobody would hear it or understand it or believe it. Now, what it says is, whereof I was made a minister according to the...
Yeah.
Say it again.
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah.
Say it.
Yeah.
According to the gift of the...
Grace.
Say it.
Grace.
Grace of...
God.
What's the next word?
Given.
What's the next word?
Unto.
Come on, you guys. Unto the grace...
Given.
What? Unto the grace of God given. Given. Not earned. Not purchased. Not worked for. Given.
Amen.
Given. Given. To grace of God. Given unto me. God, Paul was made a minister, an apostle, by the grace of God that was given to him by the effectual working, by the effectual working of his power, not Paul's power, God's power. You're made a minister of Jesus Christ by the effectual working of God's power, and it's a free gift.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Isn't that what it says?
Amen.
You don't earn it. You don't have to wait till you come good enough.
Amen.
I have never met anyone that said they became good enough to be a minister that wasn't rotten all the way through the core. Boy, I tell you what, I ought to send one of these tapes up to my headquarters up there at IGA and let them hear it. They'd probably throw me out tomorrow. I've been to some of their meetings and some of those preachers I've met. Man, they're no more called of God or holy than my dog. They got all kinds of nice little bed sheets all put out around them. But inside, they're like a snake pit. Some, you know, bless God, people, bless God, bless God. Don't put up little tapestries around you. Be transparent before the Lord so that God can reach down inside and get the garbage out. Don't just cover it up, get it out.
Amen.
Moses and his sacrifice could only cover the sin. Could only cover it. And what we've had in the church today is all in the world it's done up to this point is cover sin. The Pentecostals, all they did is cover it. They talked holiness, preached holiness, and their most hateful, meanest, sneakiest, worryingest, garbage mouth people I ever met. Stab you in the back faster than a snake could bite you. Call themselves holy. Baptists stand in the church and say, bless God, we're a Christian and we're saved by the blood of the Lamb. I can't wait to get out of church so they can go drink up at the bar and get drunk. Catholics go in and eat their little Jesus cookie and go out and commit fornication all week. least the Episcopalians are honest about it, man. They don't even wait to leave church. They go to fellowship hall and get drunk. They don't even wait to leave church. Not all Episcopalian churches are like that, praise God. I've seen a couple. You were in one, Ricky? Yeah. Praise God. Folks, don't cover the sin. Get rid of it. I mean, that Jesus came, He came with a sacrifice that takes the sin out. Doesn't cover it up. That sacrifice on the cross of Calvary doesn't cover up the sin. It takes the sin out. Gets rid of it. And then He fills us with the Holy Spirit so we can walk in that love and that power. Holiness. True holiness that comes from God and comes from within. Not a man-made, self-righteous, hypocritical holiness. Makes me sick. See some of these so-called Christians sit back and, I'm better than you are. Well, if you saw yourself as God saw you, you'd go in a bathroom and cry for an hour. I know, I'm making some people mad. Some of you may not even want to come back after tonight. Tough. Get your act together. Or don't come back. I want and I need in this church people that will walk for Jesus Christ. Amen. Not walk for Richard Buechler. Not walk for Tongues of Fire Ministries or Tongues of Fire Tabernacles. But will walk for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Get rid of all your petty little problems. Jealousies. Envies and strifes. Get rid of them. Prides. Wants. Get in Jesus.
Amen.
Paul got it right here. Verse 8. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given. See, Paul had the right attitude. Some of you people out there listen to Shula, Dr. Shula. He says the problem with people today and the problem with Christians is they don't have enough self-esteem. My God, that's the problem now. You got too much. You got so much self-esteem, you stink. You think you're so much better than everybody else, no one can talk to you, tell you anything. Some of you are turning me off now because you don't like what I'm saying because you think you're better than I am. Well, praise God. Maybe you are. Paul said he was the least of all of them. He was less than the least. That's the proper attitude. Not the best, not better than everybody else, but the least. When you get to the point where you are the least, then God can move in you and make you great in Him. As long as you're trying to be great in yourself, you'll never be anything. Never be anything. Praise God. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That's the job. To preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Just exactly what we can have in Jesus Christ. I've been thrown out of more churches because I've stood in the pulpit and said, my job is not to come here and tell you what to do. My job is to come here and show you how to do it. Preachers have gotten mad at me and thrown me out because I said that. Why? Because they couldn't do it. Let alone show anyone how to do it. You know, there are people, I'm looking at you. Some of you people here, you have not been in the Lord that long. Some of you people, Ricky, I could take you down to Pentecostal churches. In the South, in the Bible Belt. People have been standing in church for 30 years, and you know more about how to walk in Jesus Christ than they do. You know more about how to walk in Jesus. Jimmy, you make a better preacher than some preachers I've seen have been preaching for 40 years. You get better results. You've only been a Christian for a year. You get more results because you know Jesus and not some stupid theology or philosophy. Got a long ways to go. We all do. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I see I don't know. God comes up and tells me that He has made it. He has arrived. He may have arrived, but He went to the wrong door. He ain't at the right house. May look like the house He's looking for, but it ain't the right house. Bless God. 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. There is a fellowship, church. There is a fellowship that you can have in Jesus. And the world can't understand it, and the world cannot see it. It is a mystery to them. It's a mystery to them. But there is a fellowship that can be had. And in that fellowship is all power, and all might, and all dominion, and all health, and all grace, and all love, and all courage, and all knowledge, and all wisdom, and all discernment. It's all in that mystery of that fellowship. And that mystery of that fellowship is abiding in Jesus.